Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you on this Wednesday. Salute to you. However you're listening, wherever you're listening, thanks for making us a part of your day, especially our friend in Florida, who is riding
in Tampa, north of Tampa, he said.
Riding out Hurricane Milton that is headed that way, and of course, it's a big deal, man. It's Cat 5, the biggest of the big. It has the potential of causing great devastation. And our friend said that, got all the beer, I'm set. And I was like, I feel like you should have more. And of course, he texted back to let us know. I got whiskey and wine too.
Okay, so all just
the
beer.
All the food groups are covered.
You know what? He kind of remind me of us.
Yeah.
Because we kind of do the same thing too.
In Houston?
Whenever a storm is coming, if you go in these grocery stores, all the beer is gone, all the snacks
is
gone. Exactly.
Why
yeah,
not?
That's how I feel, man.
I mean, take care of the other stuff. Don't get me wrong. A generator would be nice.
Yeah, of course all of that stuff is important, but hell, have a good time while you sit and try to wait it out.
Yeah, I was like, look, with the situation at hand, if you are in the midst of a storm.
Get plastered.
Might as well.
Yeah. Get plastered.
That's probably not the best
way to put it.
Message to send out there. I apologize if that's the case. All right, let's talk about the Texans then. Do these Texans play down to their competition? It's a question I've been kind of asking myself in some ways because, I mean, Seth mentioned this, and we could probably look at it. This Texans offense, when it comes to what we believe it capable of doing, should be one of the best in the league. I mean, we drooled all training camp, all offseason, really, about, ooh.
Yeah.
Look at all these wide receivers. You have 15-yard wide receivers across the thing. And then you bring in Joe Mixon, so you'll be able to tote the rock. Like, this offense is going to be gangbusters.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to put up a 40-burger every week, and that is not.
People were saying they could average 35, 36 points a game.
100%.
Yeah.
And that very much felt like the thing, and you have not seen that come to fruition thus far. In fact, you have seen fairly close games in every week except for week one was also a close game with the Colts even. And then you have a loss against the Vikings, and that's the one game that is not really particularly close in the course of your run thus far. A 29-27 victory over the Colts, 19-13 victory over the Bears, 34-37 loss against the Vikings. We move. 24-20 win against the Jaguars, and then a 23-20 win against the Bills. All of those tight, despite you playing a lot of different caliber teams in that. And, I mean, also, I'm not giving you big numbers there when it comes to the scores for your Texans, right? So it makes me think, like, what is happening with this Texans team? Yes, they are making sure to win, and winning ultimately is the most important thing at this point. But do we have to put them or label them as a team that plays to their competition? Because I think that that's not a great thing to think about going into a Patriots team that we don't view highly.
I think this game is going to kind of determine that, right? Because I get, D'Amico's messaging after the Jacksonville game, and we're talking about style points and all that. And ultimately, C.J. Stroud made the plays and they got the win. And it's good to be, it was then 3-1, now 4-1. I kind of throw out the Bills game because they were not just a team that you could play down to. I mean, they're a team that.
Yeah, but in that instance, you played up to them in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
After the season that had led up to that point.
Yeah, but I think this game against the Patriots, there is no way you can talk about, hey, a win is a win is a win if it's another close kind of last minute, last second type win. Because you should just, and I get, hey, they get paid too. I get it. But they're bad. and they got a rookie quarterback starting. They got a bad defense. They got a worse offensive line. You have a very good defense, and you've got C.J. Stroud, and we'll find out here in just a matter of moments about if Joe Mixon is practicing, but you've got weapons, and it, there is no reason, Nico or no Nico, that you can't just go, I call it paint by numbers. You just can't paint by numbers, get it done, 10-point, 14-point, whatever it is, comfortable win. If they don't get that done this week, then, yeah, a win is a win. But I will not feel the same about this team. I will think that they're playing down.
Yeah, it was one of the things I noticed because after the Bills game, I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Whew, yeah. Right? It felt like a sigh of relief. All right, cool. We don't have to have quite those same feelings. And it was interesting seeing folks kind of texting on the text line as that's one of the ways that we get a level of feel of what people are thinking. And they were like, yeah, but wait till we play the Patriots. I was like, is this what we're going to do all week or like all season where we're just going to be like, all right, but wait, we'll really have a feeling once we play this next game. Okay, but no, we'll really understand. And I was like, are we just riding the roller coaster through this? And what does that say about this Texas team that at least early on, it's still fairly early, although time is ticking on the season. It is not a particularly long season, the NFL one. What does that say about this team that it feels like you're kind of riding, all right, depending on what the team is we'll do enough to get a win, which again, getting you in a good thing and definitely something that you need to make sure to do over the course of this. But that does not feel like that bodes well for what you're doing.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I think this one is the sort of make or break, so to speak. You got to just go in there, take care of your business. You've got everything going your way outside of the Nico injury, and we'll find out about Mixon, as I mentioned. But you should just put away these guys, put your foot on their throat, and walk out of there with a comfortable win. Like, I'll take the win, but I'll be disappointed if it's ugly, you know, this time with the Patriots. I just will.
Yeah. And not just, I think you need to also put the points up. I think that's one of the things that I want highlighting here is just ultimately the As a process-oriented guy, I've made that abundantly clear, right? I think that is, I like being a process guy, and which is great because I walk in and I'm looking at D'Amico, I'm looking at Caserio, and all they're talking about is process. Right now, I am going to flip the script, baby. Yeah. I'm going to do something a little unusual. I need results.
Thank you. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, I need to see the results on it. Like, the process has been fairly good in some regards, and I've kind of given my issues with some of the process. First, second down have not been good enough. Third down has been spectacular in order to make up for the first, second down. You are leading the league in yards per game passing-wise with this team. Some of that's because you can't run the football, but some of that is because you are capable of passing at a high level. And ultimately, you're putting up the numbers scoring-wise that you have that's just kind of so-so. I feel like I would like those things to match a little bit better. I want to see that. I want to see all of those things to come together. And some of that is obviously less penalties. Some of that is finding a passable rushing attack. Yeah. But whatever it is, ultimately, some of that is not trading seven for three, right? But some, ultimately, I need to start seeing some of these results for this team. Now that you win against the Bills and that we can comfortably have the conversation, all right, one of the top teams in the AFC, top teams in a league, I think, show their ability to put the points up.
Yeah, and you know, the reason I feel so strongly about this is because, like, what is the one thing that has been a constant, you know, from the first kickoff of the first game? There have been some ups and downs. We know them. But the one constant is they make quarterbacks look bad outside of Sam Darnold, you know, who was obviously, and even Sam Darnold got sacked four times. You know, he got sacked four times, but he had a really good game. But they make quarterbacks look bad. Anthony Richardson, bad. Caleb Williams, really bad. Trevor Lawrence, bad. Josh Allen, awful. So if you got Drake May in there lighting you up, if you get Drake May in there as in his first ever NFL start, and he with very below average receivers in New England, well, then you're playing down to your competition.
Okay, I hadn't even thought about the defense aspect of it. Obviously, I'm thinking a lot more offensively on this side. But yeah, defensively, I think that feels a little bit more gimme, for lack of a better term. And I know we already had someone texting, "Oh, you're setting up the trap game," as if I have control.
It's not
over
your
this.
Fault.
I wish. By the way, if I had that level of control over things, buddy, would things look the way that I like them to look? But that very much feels like that's fair. That portion of this, but that's not a walkover necessarily of a Patriots defense as well, as I try and temper some of this. But I do still need to see some level of separation, particularly from the teams of this ilk, right? If you're going to play in tough games against good teams, you're not going to hear too much of a peep out of me. We'll find out, actually. I'm not going to pay myself into that corner.
Maybe.
But against teams of this ilk, particularly this Patriots team, I would like to start seeing you separate, because then I'm going to have to really consider like why this would be a team that kind of plays to their competition. And you never want to be playing down. If you play up, great.
Yeah.
But playing down is something that is unacceptable, and I definitely want to see them shift away from that this week.
I think the other aspect of it, you know, the other thing they do well consistently is they get what they need out of C.J. Stroud when it matters.
Yes.
And I think even from an offensive line perspective, which has not been consistent, which has not been able to protect C.J. Stroud, you know, game in and game out, even that, I think we should have higher expectations against this Patriots defense. I think even the offensive line needs to perform better, whether Joe Mixon is in there or not, but certainly if he is, because they did have a little success against the Bills defense running the ball. They didn't protect C.J. Stroud like I would have hoped. But against the Patriots defense, that I was looking at the rankings earlier, but they're not great. They're bottom third in the NFL. I think even the offensive line needs to step it up.
Yeah, I mean, well, that one feels very obvious. The offensive line needs to be significantly better for this Texans team. I kind of want to see now. It's, you know, kind of sparked a thought when you're bringing that up. Like, what is this Patriots defensive line, and especially without Matthew Judon? And they have not gotten a lot of quarterback pressures, or at least this past week they did not. I don't necessarily think of this defense, even though they're a better defense than their offense. Yeah, the offensive line, I would love to see what they're capable of doing run game-wise in this. But I guess that also starts with, here in a few minutes, are we going to see that Joe Mixon is back in this thing, or are you still trying to piece it together with options that I think we all recognize are not ones that you should have RB1 wise?
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about the Patriots defense. They are 26th in the NFL in yards per attempt against the rush. This offensive line has to just, you know, take care of business. Like 26th, they give up 4.2 yards a carry, according to NFL, Pro Football Reference. And that's something that they need to feast on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this text that comes in and says they've not been playing down to their competition? Division games are always tough, no matter how much better a team is. So that would be...
I kind of agree with it. That's what I'm saying. I think week four. This is the barometer. This is the test. I get Indianapolis, first game of the year, and, you know, who knows with Anthony Richardson, and they've got some weapons, and I considered them, you know, pretty good at the time. Their defense ended up not playing very well. I get Jacksonville, a team that is always, you know, sort of there, and who knows what they... you could argue that they played down to those teams, but I get his point.
And then the point being made, Bears game was just a sloppy game. Bills game was two good teams going at it.
Yeah, that's why I think this is the one where if this happens again, we're gonna be at, you know, I will. I'll be questioning if they are in fact doing
it. All right, well, that's another thing to watch in the course of this.
Yeah.
When
it needs to be boom, 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 let's get out of town.
Agreed. There's more to break down within this matchup itself, but this will be an interesting overarching kind of thought to keep with that at least I will keep with me when they play a face off against the Patriots in New England, Foxborough. And as they take Caserio back to where he used to, his old stomping grounds, mm-hmm. right? The New England Patriots. All right, you're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Wednesday. In fact, hold on. We got a giveaway in this hour, don't we?
Oh, we sure do.
Oh, we sure do.
Oh,
yeah,
man, it's
yeah.
a Texas a $50 gift card to a Texas Star Grill shops.
Correct.
I don't know why I always say it like that.
My guy is over at Texas Star Grill Shop.
There we go. So yeah. we'll do that in this hour. So keep it locked. I should have let you know ahead of time, but now I'm letting you know now. Mm-hmm. What I'm also letting you know is that coming up next, we'll get into our lunchtime confessions right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
You know, one of the weird places my mind went when I saw that Drake May was starting on Sunday?
I'm not, yeah, I
gotta
that's
confess.
Exactly how I felt.
I gotta confess.
Yeah.
I wonder what that post-game handshake conversation is going to be like between CJ Stroud and Drake May after all the stuff that happened with Caleb Williams.
I think we kind of ruined it, man.
We might have, or is he just going to say, hey, young fella. Hey.
I don't think he's going to do it now, man.
Now, keep in mind, before the draft, or maybe it was before the season, he was on a podcast, CJ. I was talking about Drake May is his favorite player, you know, got great arm talent, all this other stuff. Is he going to put his arm around him, you know? Like, I'm just intrigued by the post-game handshake for Sunday's game.
I have no idea where to go, but I think Figgy's probably right. He's probably going to be real aware of that now after what happened with Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be
aware. He'll probably talk to him once they get dressed and all that stuff.
But he was like sincere. He said he was sincere. I was just, I wasn't trying to. What did you say, big boy him?
Yeah, but for the simple fact that he had to address that, it's like, man, I wasn't trying to do that. I think now he's going to watch himself and probably not do it.
Young fella, take it from me. You got a good future in this league.
Hey, come here. Look at me. Come here.
Yeah,
while I'm talking to you.
Here. Come back here. I got something else to say.
Yeah.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
One of the things that's happening right now is I think I need a new computer.
You need a new computer?
Yes, uh-oh. Because quite a few times during the course of having these...
You said that the other day.
You see, it's frozen up right now.
It is frozen up.
It's frozen up. All right. Mm-hmm. But I got to confess, I think I really do enjoy the idea of a no-nickname team. Remember we were there with Washington, with the Washington football team?
Oh, yeah. I love that, man. Yeah.
And I feel like I knew that they had to change that because mm-hmm. you were actively shifting away from a nickname that you thought was a slur. And so in order to change people mm-hmm. from saying that name, you give them a different name for them to say, right?
Yeah.
That is not the case with the Utah Hockey Club.
Oh,
who,
that's what they are?
Yeah, they moved that team from Arizona to Utah. I think Ryan Smith actually is the owner now. You know, he's the mm-hmm. governor of the Jazz. And right now in the transition period before they announce a name, they are operating as the Utah Hockey Club.
I bet it grows on you.
Oh, I'm certain it does.
Yeah.
I'm certain it does.
Yeah.
They seem to be enjoying it quite a bit.
Yeah.
In fact, they got their win in their debut yesterday as the hockey season is underway.
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking at that and I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I love it. Like I love it. Like, don't even worry about a nickname. Just be the Utah Hockey Club.
Yeah.
Man.
Remember when they used to say the they don't do it as much anymore, the New York Football Giants?
Yeah.
I used to always like that, like the Washington football team. Football.
I like that, man.
Yeah, I do too. Should do more of that. I like the hockey club.
Yeah. So I'm all in. I understand that there's a lot of folks that, especially like in a very American mindset, not saying I'm not American, but I know I watch a lot of soccer, and mm-hmm. so that kind of filters in the way I view this. I know there's like, no, it needs to be, you know, place and, you know, the team nickname.
Well, they have FC all over soccer.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so you end up with just kind of the club names, Arsenal, mm-hmm. Chelsea, right? Dynamo Group is a great, yeah, I can't say that one.
No.
But like... Yeah, Utah Hockey Club.
I'm
with it.
I'm
like
with it.
It
too.
I'm in.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I got to give a happy belated birthday to R.L. Stein. Remember R.L. Stein?
Ah, goosebumps.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Look, so he's 81 years old. I feel like he's a GOAT. He's a legend in the game. And I got to confess, I'm going to play this. This is the intro for Goosebumps.
Yeah.
This, I gotta confess, this intro used to scare the crap out of me.
Agreed.
Somebody posted the intro recently, And I'm like, man, this looks so cheesy. But I don't know why this used to scare me so much. Mm-hmm. Like trying to watch this 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was just so creepy, man. Mm-hmm. But as a grown man, I'm like, why was I scared of this?
Well, that's what happens. That's what happens. So he's how old?
81. Man. Yeah, 81, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. He used to have these books going crazy at the book fair.
Oh, yeah. People love
trying to save our money for this. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, salute the Goosebumps, man.
Salute the Goosebumps.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed Goosebumps from a distance. Like, I read a little bit, and I was like, nah, this is not my ministry. This is not my
Some
call.
Of those episodes was a little scary, though, man.
A little bit.
I remember it was an episode, I guess a dad was... He was turning into a plant.
Yeah.
So his hair was growing leaves and all that. So he was walking around with a ball cap on and like, why you got that weird cap on? And he was going in the basement and all this other stuff. It was
Children's
wild,
Twilight
man.
Zone is basically what
pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. No.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I got to admit, this occurred to me last night as I'm watching the Fernando Tatis home run. First of all, he's a bad dude, but I like when players pimp home runs a lot more in the postseason. It just feels like appropriate.
Because every individual play means
every
so much.
Every pitch, yeah. everything. Like a lot of times when I get it, it's not like I'm, going to rant about it or anything. But a lot of times in the regular season when somebody pimps a home run, I'm like, just run around the bases. Just end it. just go get your home run. Go get your high five. When someone pimps, did you see him? Like he stood in there for 2 seconds, like a full.
Nah, it was like 4 or 5 seconds.
It
might have
been
man.
Like he hit that home run. He just stood in the batter's box and just staring at it. And I
admired his work.
I was loving it. I don't know what postseason pimping is a lot better than this.
Hey, he looked like G Money from New Jack City when he made that free throw.
Yeah,
they're like, yeah,
that was. Badass and like normally in the regular season I'm like get around the bases fella. This was all I was like yeah man.
I love when players pimp home runs man. I think that brings a little more entertainment. Now I know pitchers get a little pitchers and players get a little sensitive over it.
Yeah,
but I think to me I think you should celebrate like that.
Well, should be reserved for the postseason.
I agree with that. Yeah. But I
don't know, man. I enjoy it. And I maybe it's just me being understanding myself. But I'm like, yo.
You'd be pimping it?
Home runs look so damn hard.
Yeah. Pimping it, just slamming
like,
the bat.
Do you understand what I just did? That man is throwing 99 at me, and I sent that into the crowd. Boy, no. I'm sitting here and appreciating that.
Yeah.
He hit that ball
properly,
man.
Talk some mess, man. I love that.
I loved it. I was just laughing. I was like, go, Fernando. Plus, he's just a fun player.
He really is. Yeah. And then what I think that also brings is that brings the competition out of these cats. Because when they do get upset, now we going. Now let's play some baseball.
And honestly, too, I like when pitchers, when they get that last strikeout. They be fist pumping or they be pointing to the dugout.
Yeah.
Like, I like that type of stuff, man.
It's just better in the postseason, though.
Yeah, of course.
No, I agree. Everything better in the postseason.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
The drinks are better in the postseason.
You're darn right.
A doggone single is better in the postseason. Man, when you hear a single, they hit the single, man, that crowd be going nuts.
Crazy.
And I'm like, it's just the first inning. That sound, even the crack of the bat sound better in the postseason.
Damn, now I'm just excited for the end of the show so I can go watch postseason
I'm
baseball.
Telling you, man.
Sick. Watch this. These are my confessions.
There are some things in sports discourse that really upset me. And one of them I have remembered again because one of my homeboys has been annoying the hell out of me with this in the group chat, and that is Team of Destiny.
Oh yeah,
the idea of a Team of Destiny, and you'll find this over time is just similar things with me upset me because you can't nail that down. And he is doing the thing. He's good at trolling me though. he's doing the thing where he's having it bounce around because for him he identified this, and to his credit, probably about 2 weeks to a month before the end of the season that the Tigers were a team.
You were going to talk about
that. Because he was watching that Tigers run, and maybe that's why I was so staunchly against the idea that the Tigers would do real damage to the Astros. Look at me being a fool.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, Tigers team of destiny. And now the Tigers in the postseason here, And he is flipping over to the other side, being like, well, over there, that's the team of destiny now, too. They're a team of destiny, right? The Guardians are the team of destiny.
Oh, well, that's
now the Tigers
hard.
Are a team of destiny. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Pick a side.
None of this makes sense to me.
It's the second best team in the AL.
Yeah, pick a side. So bro, that too, but yeah.
So, yes, now apparently the Guardians are the team of destiny. The Tigers are a team of destiny, and I'm just upset because I don't know what the hell we're talking
about.
That's
a cop out.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. I will roll with the Tigers for sure, man, because they came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like, the last time I checked, I'm like, damn, they over 500? Damn, they in the playoff run?
But even then, the idea, like, even breaking this back down away from my homeboys' nonsense, the idea of a team of destiny is very frustrating.
I don't like it. I don't like the term.
Like, I just kind of hate the notion that there is some level of like a higher power than orchestrating this for this. Nah, they just playing really good baseball, and I think we should appreciate that.
Exactly. I will say this, like, for the Tigers to actually beat the Guardians the last game.
And
with one of the best closers in the world. Like, this dude blew a save. Class A blew a save.
Yeah.
And that was his first blown save since, like, August.
Yeah.
That made me start thinking, like, man, maybe this team is a Cinderella team.
I think you can use
team.
That term, like, descriptively. They look like a team of destiny. Like they're going to get it done. But I don't think it's, like, legit. You know, some higher power rested their hands on their shoulders.
And again, you know what? Maybe I'm just lashing out because he's been blowing on my phone behind us. And it's I'm sick. I'm sick of Team of Destiny.
Mm-hmm. Watch this.
These are my confessions. Man, I got to confess, I think I'm a little worried about my mother, man. So Monday when I was out sick, you know, it was my birthday and I was out sick and I didn't get a call from my mother.
Oh.
And that was the first time in a long time I didn't get a call from my mother.
Oh, y'all, so you usually get a birthday call.
She used to be the first one to call me or second.
That hurts.
Early in the morning. So I ain't hear from her. I'm like, you know, no big deal. You know? The next day, she texts me like 3 a.m. and said, call me. And I ain't see the text until like 5 a.m. when I woke up. So I tried to call her. She ain't answer. Then I called again. And she was just like, yeah, I tried to call you on your birthday. I'm like, no, you didn't. Like, I didn't get a call. And then later on in that conversation, she slipped up and pretty much said, yeah, I think I got kind of confused because I thought it was the 8th. And because so I think she forgot my birthday.
Wow.
She did.
She forgot what day my birthday was.
I mean, I'm not trying to cast aspersions here, but she did.
Yeah, that's the first time ever.
That hurts, though, man.
Yeah,
my mom,
I was just like, oh, man.
Used to do the same thing. First one in the morning. You know, and then a couple times she would, whatever, forget. And just like, oh, that hurts inside.
Yeah, because like it hurt from like multiple different ways, too, because of course it hurt that she forgot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then it hurt. I'm like, oh, she getting older now. She can't remember how she used to.
I think she just forgot. I mean, it happens.
No, but see, she texted me early that morning. Like she was trying to get a head start on the birthday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then she like, oh, I tried to call, you ain't answer.
Maybe she listened to you. She was like, yeah, maybe it should be the 8th now.
Maybe she was listening to the show because the day before or the week before, it was like Thursday or Friday. I said, I think your birthday is the 8th, isn't it? And you corrected me.
Yes,
that's the 7th.
That's notably what parents do is listen.
They listen to the show.
She
thought I was right.
Hey, I got a different type of parents. my mama don't even know the name of the show I'm on. Once in a while, she'd text me or call. Hey, what show is you on again? Because she's trying to show one of her friends.
Oh, I bet she's bragging. She calls it all sorts of hilarious things. That's the best instance when a parent is not quite sure what a thing is, and they just decide that this is the name that they're going to call it. I bet she calls this show also.
She have no idea, man. She is like disconnected from the world, man. Bless her heart.
Bless her heart.
You good, Lopez?
I'm good.
I'm good as well. That's our Lunchtime Confessions here in the Loop. That is the name of the show, mind you.
Yeah.
Here on Sports Radio 610. And
that's the station.
That is the name of the station.
I told that multiple times.
Shout out to mom. Shout out to all moms, in fact, just to do it. Just because. Now, we're getting some updates from practice as the Texans are practicing, getting themselves ready for the Patriots this weekend. And Joe Mixon is not at practice. So we go again in trying to figure out There we go. We will again be on the path of trying to figure out what the running game looks like, at least when it comes to who's toting that rock, as we veer towards Sunday in Foxborough versus the Patriots. Right now, all we know, Joe Mixon not at practice. Let's see if we can get you some more information there, but also let's see if we can do a little NFL overreaction or not coming off of week 5 of NFL football. We'll do that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, man, you're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Let's get into some NFL overreaction or not here. And we begin, John Lopez.
We do begin.
With one that I think is a little spicy, and I'm very excited to get to this one.
Mm-hmm.
The Cincinnati Bengals, 1-4, are going to miss the playoffs. Overreaction or not?
Man, Joe Burrow's playing well, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
30 of 39, 392 yards. Played great, and yet still.
This is a spicy one. This is an interesting one.
That record is in such a place.
Teams have gotten there before. Hell, the Texans have gotten there with a 1-4 start, if I'm remembering that correctly. But I'm going to say it's not an overreaction. I think the division comes into play.
Yeah.
And I think this isn't the weak AFC South right now, with Baltimore and obviously Pittsburgh doing their thing. Forget Cleveland, but I think those two teams are going to make it hard because they're not going to win any divisions. That's for dang sure. The only way to get in would be a wild card, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that very much feels like the case, especially with the Ravens being this. I mean, they're 3-2. It's not like they're crazy far ahead.
They look better.
But, yeah, they look better. And it's funny. I just pulled up the standings. The Bengals actually have a better point differential than the Texans. Of course, you still.
Texans have a negative point differential.
They do. Minus 12 compared to Bengals is minus 5. So, you're not overreaction. You're like they're out on the playoffs here.
I think so. And I think, it's a shame because, we mentioned it. And in fact, we were talking about the weekend's games. I was like, don't look now, but Joe Burrow was playing pretty well. Then he played a really good game this past weekend, but I don't think they're going to make it.
Okay. As we continue doing a little NFL overreaction or reality, the Ravens have the best rushing duo in the league.
I don't think that's a question. That's not an overreaction. That leading the league in rushing, obviously Derrick Henry. Was he available last offseason?
He was.
Yeah, that's right.
He was.
Yeah.
I think everybody thought he was washed.
What is the bit that you're doing right here with Derrick Henry, mind you?
I just need a reminder every once in a while.
You wanted the Texans to bring up Derrick Henry? Is that what you're telling me?
You ain't want them to get Derrick Henry.
No, he wasn't my first choice. My first choice was Saquon.
Yeah.
But he was in play, and boy, he's making the Ravens look smart. Yeah.
Yeah, but the Ravens, all right. Let's stop down here for a second. Yeah. Hold on. We're not moving past this. Wait, so you saw what Derrick Henry looked like behind the Titans offensive line last year, right?
I did.
And so you think that would have looked different here?
Look, he was not priority of my list, the top priority. The real reason I say that, the Texans were in negotiations. They were in the Derrick Henry conversation. And some of y'all might not remember that, but there were multiple reports that they had spoken with Henry's people. So that's all. I don't get me wrong. I'm happy with Joe Mixon. No question about it.
Honestly, I will keep, like, the decision they made with Mixon, I will still keep that decision, obviously, but because Mixon is a little younger, and I don't know how long Derrick Henry going to have. It looked like he's going to be around longer than we thought.
Yeah.
But, it was scary from the beginning when he went to the Ravens.
I think also the fact that Mixon factors in offensively in the pass game.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you've had an injured Joe Mixon who, mind you, was not practicing today. So that adds another level to this. But, yeah, I don't know. I've heard you say that a couple times. I'm like, I don't know,
have
man.
Have you picked up on that?
I did. I mean, it was impossible.
I will say, I think Seth won it. I think the morning show won it.
I think they did.
More. Because they wanted him more than Saquon.
Yeah.
And we were team Saquon.
I was about Saquon. I was thrilled with Joe Mixon. Still thrilled with Joe Mixon. But I just feel like it's really more of a credit to Derrick Henry than anything.
Sure.
When I say that, because the Texans were probably not going to give him what he wanted, or certainly not what the Ravens gave him. But boy, he's looking like the guy.
Look like he'll be around for a minute.
He's looking like the guy right now.
All right. Let's continue in NFL overreaction or not here. In the loop, The San Francisco 49ers, their Super Bowl window is already closed. Overreaction or not?
Not at all.
Wow, okay.
They said it themselves. Who was it? One of their receivers, was it? No, it wasn't Ayuk. I forget who it was. Said, if not now, when are we going to do it? I think, McCaffrey, I hope everything's fine in Germany, and all that. I think it is closing. I think it is definitely closing. You?
Me?
Yeah.
It's... I might go as far as to say it's closed, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, without Christian McCaffrey, he was kind of the engine that made this thing go. Yes, they have other pieces elsewhere, and they've been able to get some good production from other places.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about Super Bowl window, it feels like this was a very particular vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Ferrari,
yes,
right? Like,
yes.
Where the performance was really high, but you needed all the pieces in the right place. You lose. You turn a bolt the wrong way, and the Ferrari kind of slows down.
Everything is so exact.
Right. Everything is so precise in order for it to be at the high level. And I tell you, Christian McCaffrey not being there is more than a bolt out of place in the course of that. And as you mentioned, right, I don't think that they have a sustainable thing when it comes down to it. So, it does feel like that.
Let me ask you
Super Bowl window in particular.
Yeah, Super Bowl. That's what we're talking about.
All right, so if we're talking about playoffs, making the playoffs.
I mean, I think that's still in play. Okay. It's still in play right now.
Playoffs?
That's right.
But I have one that's kind of an offshoot of that question. The Cardinals are the best team in that division.
Ooh. No, that's an overreaction.
You think that's an overreaction?
I do think that's
You like Seattle that much?
I do.
Because the Niners are...
That might be a fault with
them. We just talked about the Rams have some severe issues, and who knows when they're going to get their receivers back. Cardinals are fun to watch.
They are, and I think that might be the distinction. Fun to watch, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Better, I don't think so. I like what Seattle has done all the way around, where Geno Smith, mind you, leading the league in passing.
Yeah, he is.
Individually, guys. Don't forget that. And then their defense has something to say as well. With the way that they handle things. I like Seattle, and maybe that's a fault of myself because I like a lot of the various pieces that have come together there. Especially when you also add Mike McDonald. I've liked him as well and his capabilities. So, I would go there as opposed to any of the other teams, really. Okay, so as we continue with overreaction or reality here in Loop Sports Radio 610, I want to return here. Jameis Winston will be the Browns' starting quarterback this week.
This week, I haven't looked at their report.
I don't think this week.
All right. So if not this week.
Yes.
You think that it's going to happen, though?
Yeah. I mean, there is an overwhelming number of people now. Like, and not just fans, on message boards or Twitter or something like that. Like there are some very respected people, in the NFL saying, what are you doing? You can't. This is not sustainable. You cannot continue to start Deshaun Watson. I mean, hell, even an opposing player, and forgive me for not remembering his name, said after the game the other day, he looks like his problem is above his shoulders.
Oh, yeah. No, that's very evident, right? Yeah,
but an opposing player said that.
Yeah.
That just got off the field with him. It is not sustainable. It is going to happen. I just don't think this week.
Yeah, your guy, Nick Wright, was talking about on his own personal podcast about how it feels like the out that they have there is to, and maybe, I don't know if he said that he had heard things in this regard, but to trade him with a first round pick attached to his lapel in order to get off of some of, obviously not all of the dead money, but some of the dead money that he comes with.
Who's
going to
take him?
Maybe you get one of these teams that will have a lot of cap space and the opportunity to, like, a rebuilding type team. I think Nick pointed to Carolina and said that, will you take a first-round pick, like maybe four overall?
But you got to take Deshaun.
But take Deshaun, eat that money with the cap space that you have, but here's a first-round pick
for you. That actually make a little more sense because, I don't know what they're going to do with Bryce Young. Maybe the Browns try to see what they can do with Bryce Young. Mm-hmm. And then with that high first-round pick, which it might be, maybe they could get back into the quarterback business.
Man, what a world. What a world
I'm glad I ain't got to deal with that.
What, about 3-4 years ago? Is this because you have seen us get into this place in particular?
No, hell no. Even 3 years ago when we were seeing the things with Deshaun, still wouldn't have predicted this, Not at all.
Oh, wow. We got someone texting and saying the Cardinals will be 13-3.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think they might be the best team in that division.
We'll see. We'll see how that one goes. I need to write that one down. That's one of those ones that you just kind of, and not just you, but the royal you.
You got to kind of absorb
someone
it.
Throws out there, and then nobody ever comes back around on it because it's just not that time. Yeah. I want to be the guy that's like, hold on, wait on, hold up.
Remember
let's get back to that conversation. In week five, you had going into week six.
Yeah.
All right, overreaction or not, Trevor Lawrence threw for a career-high 371 yards last week. Doug Peterson has fixed him. Overreaction or not?
Come on now. He's going to be back down to, remember when I said early on about Derek Carr, you know, he's the first 2 week MVP every season, and then water's going to find its level with Trevor Lawrence too. He's the biggest tease since that girl you knew in ninth grade.
I mean don't talk about her like that.
What was her name?
I don't want to do that. You cannot trick me. I will not be tricked.
He is an enormous tease. And no, that's an overreaction.
Okay. Some more before we go here. Commanders win the NFC East. Overreaction or not?
I don't think so.
I'm starting to get there.
I know.
I'm starting to get there.
I don't think so.
And maybe this is, I have not watched enough the Commanders, right? Like, that's one of those things that I try and keep available to me, especially because so much of our perceptions of teams are built in national games when we have opportunities to see them a little bit closer. And so I'm like, hey, I probably need to see a little bit more about them.
After they play the Ravens this week, which is going to be a very entertaining game.
Yes.
Panthers, Bears, and Giants.
Okay, so maybe we're not going to get a lot of good ideas about
but they're going to win games.
They're going to win games.
Yeah.
Or they should win games.
Right.
I'm still interested to see what it looks like after half a season because the Cliff Kingsbury kind of, the ways that his offenses have kind of stalled and stagnated midway through a season. But yeah, that's one thing to watch. And then let us return to the New York Jets, who are like the rage in NFL talking circles because they're, you know, getting people fired and such. They need to. That's the wording.
Need.
Jets need to trade for Davante Adams.
Overreaction.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that they probably will because of Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
But I don't think they need to. I think that ship has sailed. You got an interim coach. You got a quarterback that's not.
Oh, playing. So you think that's
yeah.
That's good,
what's it going to do? Yeah. What's it going to do? Really? I mean, he's going to have maybe some good numbers here and there, but he's not going to fix anything.
I think he fixes.
That team?
Well, because offensively, the issue is it's an antiquated offense in what you're seeing run.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because that's what Aaron Rodgers is comfortable with.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how you fix that because Aaron Lazard is the one dude that you have that's capable of running that offense to the comfort of what you're doing there. And you've got Garrett Wilson there being frustrated, some of these young guys. And I don't know that those guys get up to speed with the way that Aaron Rodgers likes to do things quick enough. You know how you fix that as without, you know, altering the offense, which I don't think is going to happen? Drop in somebody who does it at a really high level, that particular offense. That's Davante Adams. So I do think that would be
That's a big ask for him to carry that load and turn them around. Because part of the equation, and I said this earlier, it's not like Aaron Rodgers has fallen off a cliff like he's Deshaun Watson or something, or one of those. But he is not the same quarterback that he was.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. A little bit of NFL overreaction or not here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. What I've got for you before we move on is a chance to win a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops, and you have that opportunity right this moment. Caller number 8. Is what we're going with. Caller number 8 right now will win a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops and the opportunity to be entered in a raffle that will win a grill at the end of the season.
And so, it's a nice, nice grill.
Yeah, and Lopez will deliver it personally.
I won't carry it, but I'll be there.
I don't know. I feel like if I say it on air, you will have to carry it. So, is that how that works, Fig?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So Lopez will carry it.
I'll say attaboy.
He'll leave recipes and some OG sauce for you, all of that. So, but yeah, caller number 8 right this moment. $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops right here in Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, CJ Stroud was on Pat McAfee. What are you talking about? And are we going to have to talk about a late arriving Houston crowd one more again? We'll do all that next.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.